Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for October 29th, 2023 is based on Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 to 10 and chapter 25, verses 8 to 12, as well as Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon is based on our sermon series, Abundance and Generosity, and is entitled, Reimagine.
A reading from Leviticus. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud. On the 10th day of the 7th month, on the day of the atonement, you shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return, every one of you, to your property, and every one of you to your family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow or reap the aftergrowth or harvest the unpruned vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat only what the field itself produces. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be
to God. The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As he taught, he said, this is Jesus, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, grace and peace to you from God, the great reformer, who is always continually reforming. Amen. Now, even though we are in stewardship season and this series that you have the little devotional booklet for is entitled Our Money Story, like I've said previous weeks, my sermon is not going to be focused on giving. So while the devotionals you're using at home may talk about money and the power it has over us, I encourage you to also expand your thinking beyond just the power of wealth to the power that scarcity has over our sense of abundance. If you've been following along in this 4-week series, week 1 we remembered the abundant nature of God and how God continues to provide no matter the situation. Last week we talked about how when we are able to release the negative social powers that are hanging over us, we become liberated and free to live abundantly once again. And our word for today is reimagine. Today's theme couldn't have landed on a more appropriate day than Reformation Sunday. It wasn't intentionally planned that way by any of us, but I like to think that the Holy Spirit has bigger plans than we could ever imagine. Reformation Sunday is the day where we celebrate that God is not done doing God's work and revealing God's self to us. God is continually shaping the church to look more like the grace, love, peace, and forgiveness that Jesus embodied. Martin Luther and other reformers over 500 years ago reimagined what the church should look like in action, and that reformation continues to this day and until the end of time. Part of that reimagining work is done in how we interpret Scripture. There have been, quote-unquote, traditional ways that certain Scripture passages have been taught over the last several decades. For example, go home, do a ChatGPT or an AI search on sermon topics for any passage of the Bible, and it will comb the internet and find the same several themes that have been preached on for generations. And to say that those are the only correct interpretations of Scripture is short-sighted on our behalf. How we interpret Scripture is reimagined over and over again as we gain further knowledge into the original languages that it was written in and the meanings of the words that are foreign to us. As we gain understanding of the different manuscripts that were pieced together to form the current Bible that we have. As we learn more about the culture of the people who wrote it. And as we compare our current lives and experiences to those within the pages of the Bible. Just as Martin Luther helped us to reimagine the hurtful practices of the church, we now can also work to reimagine the classic interpretations that at times have been used in harmful ways by the church. This morning, we're going to focus on the story we heard just now from Mark. Does anyone know what we typically call that story? The old lady, she comes. The what? The widow's mite. Oftentimes, this story is referred to as the widow's mite. Now, biblical authors, you know, didn't put in headings to say, this is about this story. That was a later addition, right? But we have dubbed this story the widow's mite. And if you've been around the Christian church for a while, I'm sure you've heard this story before. How many of you have heard the story of the widow's mite before? May I raise of hands? Yeah? Okay. All right. How many of you have heard a sermon or read a devotional about the widow's mite? Okay, all right. How many of you have heard this sermon used specifically during a stewardship drive or a time when the church is asking you for donations? Yeah, it's a pretty popular one for that. So what is this story about? Who is willing to be brave and share maybe a message or the moral of this story that you were taught in the past? Does anyone have a moral or something they remember being taught in the past about this story? Yeah, no. Don't be greedy, okay? What else? The widow has nothing else but her trust in God. She can give up everything else, right? Yeah, what else? Yeah. Okay, give because of how much you love God. It doesn't matter how much you give. Yeah. You give to the church first, like the widow does, and then live on the rest, which for her was nothing. Yeah. Yeah, those are all ways that people can and have interpreted this text. And if those past interpretations bring you life and bring you closer to God, then feel free to remember them. If those interpretations are problematic for you or bring you shame or guilt, I invite you to release them. Because I think those interpretations of this text need to be reimagined. I don't believe that the focus of this story is meant to be the actions of the widow. I think that Jesus is having us focus on the actions of the religious leaders. Typically, when this story is shared in a devotional or in stewardship material, they leave out the opening verse that we read today. As he taught, Jesus said, "Beware the scribes who walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses. And for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers." I don't believe it's any accident that those are the words spoken by Jesus immediately before he points out the example of the rich people putting in massive offerings and the widow putting in her last two coins into the temple coffers. He warns them of the religious leaders who are bleeding dry the most vulnerable among them. To say that these people were putting money into an offering at the temple, meaning freely given, is also a bit of a misnomer. They were coming to pay a temple tax. As Deborah Clemens puts it, everybody who was anybody in Jewish society had to pay the temple tax, an obligatory levy placed on every Jewish family. The tax was a mandatory assessment to be paid to the temple coffers each year. It was due whether you liked it or not, used the temple services or not, worshipped there or stayed away. And then there were also the sales. Lining the entire complex were hundreds of little booths of vendors selling animals to be sacrifices, animals that were officially authorized, grains for offering, souvenirs to be taken home after a pilgrimage, and the infamous money changers as well. The commission granted enormous profits. There were also the fees that the temple administrators took for acting as trustees over widows' and orphans' estates. There were also the nepotism, the grafting, the politicking by which the chief priests, administrators, and scribes acquired their unchallenged authority. And the system profited nicely through these power plays. The temple coffers were supposed to be used to help the widows and the orphans survive. But they were pillaged and misused for the enrichment of the religious elite. So when the widow places her last two coins in the coffers, as the tax expected of her, I believe Jesus uses this example not as a way to show the woman as a pillar of generosity, but to call out the misuse of funds by the economic system in place, profiting in the church on the backs of the most vulnerable. Why do I make that claim? Because Jesus uses no adjectives in his explanation of the situation to say which of the two were more generous, or who the disciples should model themselves after. Go back and read it. Jesus doesn't give a qualifier to say who is the one that we should be more like. He simply says, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And immediately following this story, Jesus critiques the use of the temple funds to build the beautiful stones and large buildings that the temple has created. For they are temporary and they will be torn down. As we reimagine this story, maybe it's less about the things that we have been taught in the past, like give all you have, give a little more if you're than you're comfortable giving, give till it hurts, be like the widow. And maybe it's more about calling us to be aware of the ways that our systems in the world and even in the church can be hurtful to God's people when we put the accumulation of power or money over the lives of the people we are called to love and serve. During stewardship seasons, this story should be used less as a model for giving and more as a measuring stick for the ways we use our resources. And the good news that we hear today is that our story, our personal story, and the church's story is never finished. No matter who or what society says we are not bound by that designation. For God is continuing to reimagine us and form us more into who God has called us to be. Sometimes that means we have to be willing to reform and reimagine the ways that we have done things in the past, or the stories from the past that we share, or the ways that we interpret Scripture, in order to more fully see God where God is at now. Our God is a God of creation, of renewal, of reformation, of reimagining. Let us step boldly into those places where change is happening to bring the church and ourselves into a life that looks more and more like Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.